Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name is Peter Howard at PA Howdy on Twitter. We are a member of the DLF family of podcasts. This week I've been releasing mini-sodes taken from excess audio from my interview with Jordan McNamara from UTH. We got into a lot of different conversations while I was interviewing him, and a lot of that seemed like really good or interesting information, but it didn't make the main cut of the episode, which is gonna drop on Saturday. So I've been cutting small sections of it up into these little mini-sodes that I can drop throughout the week as teasers and also just as interesting and actionable information about our processes or different players that we talked about. In this section, we talked about Marquise Brown, who's a really interesting value proposition, I think, going into 2020 from the 2019 rookie class. I also left on a little bit of a Mecole Hardman take at the end because Jordan ended up mentioning Brandon Cooks, and that's the second time in as many smart guys I've spoken to who've mentioned Brandon Cooks, so I thought it was worth leaving it on there, and then this little mini-sode also got me to 12 minutes, you know? Alright, so I hope you enjoy it, and I will talk to you again next time. Thanks. NFL production is just more valuable than college production. And so one of those arbitrage opportunities you were just mentioning, I always look for rookie wide receivers who do something in year one but fall in value weirdly. I want to draw a direct parallel to someone from last year, but I'm drawing a blank. But a player I do want to ask you about from last year's class, if I might take up more of your valuable time, is Marquise Brown. Like, he profiles of like Zach Reed from the Dynasty Dummy podcast made fun of me because he said he's basically Harry Ruggs. And I can see that, but at least Marquise Brown broke out. For his team, Marquise Brown was a lot more valuable or had a lot more of a role than Harry Ruggs for Alabama last year. And so he actually comes out kind of well, but his production score is below average. You don't know what that is. No one does. It's one of the things I look at. Like his age-adjusted production isn't great. It's essentially what it says. But he was drafted top 25 overall, and he did something last year. That's all I want, something. And he's on a great, smart team. Probably due from regression, like you said about the touchdown rate. But like, I can't help feeling like I don't think Marquise Brown's a top 24 fantasy receiver or anything, but like, I do think we've kind of write him off. Like, it's remarkably easy to trade for Marquise Brown right now. Like, it's harder to trade for N'Keal Harry, who had like one of the most negative things he can have on a rookie profile, which is a bad first year. And again, bad is within context of rookie wide receivers in their first year. I'm saying, can you get me 400 yards? Okay. Not can you get me 1,000? Can you get me 50 fantasy points? Not can you get me 200? And Marquise Brown was positive in that regard. And Harry wasn't. And yet I would, in my leagues, it's a lot harder to trade for Harry right now than Marquise Brown. They're almost giving him away. So like, do you like Marquise Brown? Like, I'm hoping someone says, oh, you're underrating the upside. Like, I really don't think he's a top 24 wide receiver. But if he was, it would be a great time to go buy him right now. Instead, I'm buying him just because he's undervalued and, you know, I'm a dick. But I like doing that kind of thing. You can have N'Keal Harry, who I told you to draft, by the way, and I have Marquise Brown, who I told you not to draft. Thank you. And but yeah, do you have any thoughts on Marquise Brown from last year? Another, I'm just throwing random questions at you at this point, but
No, that's fine. This is my jam, man. You know, it's funny because like you again, the spread of cost on these two guys is funny because Marquise Brown is basically, since 2008, I went back and looked, there's five wide receivers that finished with a season-long ADP, rookie ADP, outside the first round. And he's one of five first-round wide receivers to do that. So, yeah, this year it's going to be – and that's a start one quarterback. Like, this year – that might happen again because the class is really good. Like, it could be the opposite of typically why it happens. But he was wide receiver five in ADP for a good chunk of it in terms of rookies this year, and was the first one off the board. So that just screamed to me like, okay, like that's probably a buying opportunity just based off, like, if I know nothing else, just based off historical pedigree, just that. And so that was one thing with him. You know, it's funny, he's in DLF's ADP. I think I have February's on my screen right now. I'm not sure if March's is out yet, but I mean, he's going ahead of Harry in drafts. And it's funny because the narrative you said is like, he's easy to get and Harry, no one will give him up. But the startup cost is different. That's always an interesting market thing, but yeah, I think if I had to sort of put a profile on him, maybe he's not a top 24 guy. But if he settles in, like, hey, if you get multiple years of wide receiver three production, the difference between like wide receiver 20 and wide receiver 30 in terms of production over the course of a season is not really that much. In terms of, it might be like a couple tenths of a win. It's a pretty flat range.
I've never heard that before. It's good. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. I have a metric called WARP, which is wins over replacement. And we were talking before we came on, about some of the old narratives and stuff about, like, you know, I'm a UTH guy, and some of the old narratives about it, about UTH. And one of the things that changed it was actually WARP, in terms of how we look at players and wins over replacement and, you know, what matters, which is ultimately scoring points that allows your team to win. So the difference really in that range is not that much. And so if that's like sort of where, what you get and say, hey, listen, he's going to be, you know, if I could project him to be a wide receiver 30, you know, for the next 3 years or something like that. I mean, that's a pretty general statement, but you sort of expect that range of outcomes out of him. Like, that's not horrible. And especially where you're sort of getting him. I mean, he's got a 46% chance of, you know, based on my base rates, it's a 46% of wide receivers who miss in year one hit at some point in their career. So a coin flip, essentially. But yeah, I project him to finish, you know, with 120 targets in that sort of wide receiver two range? Probably not. He probably falls more into the wide receiver three, you know, somewhere between 100, 110, somewhere in that range, would be something more that I would expect. But that's not horrible in terms of what his cost is right now.
I'm literally looking something up. You can maybe think about him. Like, he's not a, I don't think he's DeSean Jackson. He's never going to be that good because DeSean Jackson's perennially great. But I actually don't know his ADOT, his brand, that is. I was like, how did he play last year? And that question has to be answered for me because I'm OCD. I can't spell Marquez. That's terrible, isn't it?
I'll see if I can beat you to it.
I'm looking at his graph. I like the graph. Racer by depth of target thing. Yeah, he got most of his... Oh, okay, yeah. Majority of targets between 5 and 10 yard line. Average ADOTs, right? What? 11? 11.5. He's used a lot downfield, though. That's where he got all his efficiency. All right. It's just for my own peace of mind. Yeah. While I'm on the subject of players that don't make sense to me, are you a... we mentioned UTH like before we got on the pod, because I don't actually like blindsiding, but I do like arguing, and I thought we like could really get angry at each other over UTH ideas, but then it turns out you actually are a smart guy who's really reasonable, so unfortunately that's not going to happen. But
oh, come on, team someone, up. I love these.
Let's go, man. No, Mecole Hardman, if you like him, he's someone we can argue about. Because I fully do not get it. I do not get Mecole Hardman love right now. It feels a little bit like the arguments, not the arguments, but the points people have made for him to me remind me more of Kiki Kuti than anyone. It's like trying to come up with some positive number, and you can find positive numbers if you look hard enough. Like with Kiki, it was, he had more receptions in a single game than any rookie with this quarterback, I think, and that made him historical. And I was just like, that's great. And like, obviously he's an amazing athlete because he's in the NFL. Like, I'm not trying to bad talk him. Right. But like, that's not like what you look for to predict a good wide receiver for fantasy. Like, that number has never been referenced before, ever. And with Mecole Hardman, what was someone saying? Like, the percentage of his touches that went for touchdowns. I'm like, do you think that's good? Like, to predict a fantasy season that you want for next year. Like, I don't get Mecole Hardman at all. Again, his rookie profile is bad, but that happens plenty of times in 2019, so I kind of just have to let that go. And he's on a great team, but like, I don't get what happened in 2019 that makes everyone, not everyone, but in my small bubble, Mecole Hardman seems to be really popular, and I don't get why. Do you know why? I guess is my question. Like, why is everyone
Patrick
like Mecole Hardman?
Is his quarterback?
I mean, not a bad reason, but there's like a lot of people on that depth chart.
Yeah, and like, listen, is Sammy, like the Sammy Watkins thing will burn me until the end of time. Like, you know,
and me both.
But he's still there. Like, again, that's it. Listen, if you're gonna make a bet and miss, like, I think that's the type of bet that you should make.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you if you sort of do that bet over and over and over again, like, that's going to be profitable, even if like in the specific instance it's not. Like,
thank you.
So you know, I think that's just good process. But I mean, yeah, you don't like wide receivers that score 14, you know, score touchdowns on 14% of their targets?
I guess not.
I mean, what, that's totally repeatable. I mean,
exactly. No, right. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So I just, I mean, that it's all, I think it's just an attachment to Mahomes, and which isn't, I guess, the worst reason that you could, I mean, I say we overrate situation, you know, being attached to a good quarterback is probably better than being attached to a not great quarterback. I think the difference is, you have to be careful about the cost, right? That's the key. I think that's the key to all of this. Like, you can like a player, dislike a player, but what's the cost, and what's the opportunity cost you're giving up for him? And what, you know, what other types of profiles in that range are you passing on? I mean, for him, you know, he's going right after Brandon Cooks, for example. Like, you know, Brandon Cooks has been historically very, very good. You know, four finishes in the teens, right? That's really good.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got different lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, stick out that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold. So, Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical.